This is Toon Talk Weekly, episode 260. This week, Brad and I talk a lot about the golden age of video games. We talk about the series Saturday Supercade, specifically the series Q-Bert.
Gee, Q-Ball, your car's really out of sight.
That's what all the chicks keep telling me.
Well, I hope you finally got your brakes fixed.
Brakes? You want brakes? How's this?
Well, I gotta admit, you got brakes.
Coming soon, Q-Bert's annual Miss Teen Contest.
Hey, Q-Bert, you should talk Cutie into entering the contest.
Yeah, she'd make a great Miss Teen. Let's go to the sweet shop, and I'll sweet talk her into entering.
Day just keeps getting better. Yeah. Ah, boy.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Toon Talk Weekly. This is the weekly cartoon podcast where we talk about a different cartoon each and every week. I'm Jake Williams, but I got my buddy Brad Chmielewski here to chat cartoons. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, dude. Feeling like a true Saturday morning. Watching some Saturday morning cartoons this week.
I know, yeah. We are recording this on a Saturday, so yeah, it's legit.
You knew exactly what to do. And you know, I woke up, I should have had cereal. Mm-hmm. You know, had the true experience. I had donuts because I'm an adult and I can go buy those.
I had donuts for breakfast.
But I was also an adult because I was mad that I didn't have the donut I wanted, so I had to get a different one. So it's like, whatever. That's what it's like being
an adult. You threw a fit there.
Yeah,
in the store. Cried on the ground.
Threw my money everywhere. What's up, everybody? Welcome into the show. Each and every week, Brad and I, for the last 260 weeks, have been talking about a brand new cartoon. Brand new or different, depending on how you want to look at it. This week's show comes to us from Brad. Brad actually started suggesting a ton of things in our work Slack channels and was just like, how about this? How about this? How about this? And I think I picked one, and then you're like, yeah, but this Q-Bert show, man. So
right.
What led you to pick this Q-Bert? Where did you find this, dude?
So currently I am reading the Super Mario book or the Nintendo book about like the rise of Nintendo. A lot of it you've probably heard in many of like videos, YouTube videos, podcasts, just like whatever, the rise of it. I think I'm at the moment about halfway through and they are just getting into like the Super Nintendo got released and their battle with Sega, basically, kind of where I'm at right now.
But is this game over, how Nintendo conquered the world?
I think so, yes.
Okay, I just Googled Nintendo book.
Is it so like that's, blue? That's, is the cover blue?
That's like blue and purple.
Hmm.
This might not be. There's also one called Console Wars that's blue. Oh, maybe this is what you're reading. That's blue with like some controllers on it. This is called Sega, Nintendo, and the Battle That Defined a Generation.
No, I should have grabbed it out of...
Dang it. Anyway, I wanted to be able to relate it to people. But anyway, so you were reading this book.
It just might be. I think it's actually the one, the Super Mario.
There you go.
How
Super
Nintendo.
Mario. How Nintendo.
Yeah.
Conquered America.
I look like a real adult reading this book on the airplane.
With your like, little bowl of, your little tiny box of Frosted Flakes, like you brought your individual.
Yeah. So I read that book. They're, just at the Super Nintendo Sega release that and all that, but they talk about like the marketing power of Nintendo in those early days. They could kind of do no wrong, and they were talking about the Super Mario cartoon, which we've watched, but then there's also another Super Mario cartoon that we didn't watch. We watched the like first version of it. There's one later that didn't involve the live action stuff. That I think takes place more in like the Super Mario 3 world versus the other stuff. But anyway, then they were talking about the other cartoons that were on around this time, and they mentioned the Q-Bert show that we're gonna watch. They talked about the Zelda show. They talked about what else did I throw in that Slack channel?
There's Captain N, the Game Masters, another one.
Right, which I've never seen that. Mm-hmm. There's just so many other random, I guess, video game shows from around that time, and I hadn't seen very many of them besides the Super Mario. I was like, oh, this Qbert one seems really funny because they just took Qbert and were like, you're 50s diners people. Let's go.
You're basically Greece, but Qbert.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So let's get into a little bit of the background when this show came out, kind of like what it's part of, because Qbert is actually part of a bigger show that was called Saturday Supercade back in the 80s. This was 1983, 1984 is when this ran. So I think we have to start by talking a little bit about what that was so people have an idea, because also this is before I was alive, so I definitely didn't see this show when it was on TV. It was produced for Saturday mornings by Ruby Spears Productions. As we mentioned a few weeks ago, we talked about, I believe, Grape Ape. Ruby Spears was Joe Ruby and Ken Spears, who worked at Hanna-Barbera. Actually, we might have talked about it with Scooby-Doo. And then they were actually paid to basically start their own production company to give some competition to Hanna-Barbera. Two seasons, 26 episodes, 97 total segments produced for Saturday Supercade that aired on CBS, again, 1983, 1984. Mm-hmm. So each episode of the show, Saturday Supercade, is composed of several shorter segments that feature video game characters. I think that's where the Supercade, the arcade kind of vibe comes from. And it's all from the golden age of video games, the games you knew and loved or grew up with maybe as a kid if you're about our age, right? Qbert was one of these shows, but the other shows were Frogger, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Pitfall, Space Ace, and Kangaroo. The only two shows to make it to season two, the rest of them were swapped out, were Qbert and Donkey Kong. So kind of interesting that Qbert, of all of these shows, lasted until the second
season. Basically. I think the Frogger one, if I'm remembering correctly in the book, they talk about, like, he was a Wild West. Like, they just basically took these themes and just, like, mm-hmm. tacked them onto people. Well, maybe it was, like, a cop or something. I don't know.
Remember Pac-Man was like that a little bit? We talked about the Pac-Man show where he... I think the episode we watched was a Wild West episode. I don't think he was supposed to be a sheriff or something. But it's kind of interesting if you think about it, where games were in the 80s and in terms of, like, property and the value that they had to an audience. Because... Mm-hmm. Yes, the games were popular. Us as kids would have to ask our parents to go buy these things. We didn't have the purchasing power to do that. And at the time, consoles and cartridges and stuff, I don't care what Nintendo advertised, that stuff's still expensive. Like, a family would have to make that purchasing decision as their entertainment, right?
Right.
But notice how they have to lump stuff together when they make it into a TV show. They have to literally call something the Supercade, the Saturday Supercade, and put, look at all the cartoons or, you know, video game-based cartoons you get, because... No one video game at the time, save for Mario and Zelda, I forget the years those shows were out, but when the Mario show was around, the rest of the games were not strong enough properties on their own to be their own show. You just had to blast them into this variety show kind of thing.
Right, and even the Mario show, what was Fridays, was Zelda. So Zelda wasn't even good enough to be on its own, and yeah, it was not. We've watched it before.
Right. Yeah. And you look at the long-storied... rocky history of video game movie adaptations. Even today, you get stuff like the Warcraft movie 2 years ago that, like, I'm a fan of Warcraft, I like that stuff, yet I can admit the movie was not great. You know, it's fun for fans who played the games over the years and know some of these characters and locations and stuff, but video games in general don't really adapt well to screen. I think the most recent good example I can think of is Castlevania. That show was great. And it was only 4 episodes and they're ordering more. So hopefully it doesn't turn into anything else. But, like, there's a weird thing, and it happens here too. It bugs me a lot. And it happens in this Qbert episode about when video games go to, like, a TV show or movie. And that is that at some point in the episode or the movie, something from the game has to happen. Like, a game mechanic thing has to be, like, justified for a situation.
Right.
In the case of, like, Mario, it would be, like, taking, oh, well, I gotta run away. Hey, there's a mushroom. I can get jump higher, and, like, I'm bigger now, you know?
Mm-hmm. And Qbert's only thing, I gotta be honest, I've never really played a lot of Qbert, but it's literally just jumping to another platform.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain the objective of Qbert is, you know, you're in that cube pyramid looking thing, this like isometric looking thing, and as you jump you swap the color of whatever you jump to, but there's also other enemies and you got to change it all to one color. That's what my understanding of Qubert is.
Okay. I think you're trying to get to the top of the pyramid.
Oh, maybe you just get to the top. I thought you swapped the colors, because in an episode I watched of Qubert, at some point, for no reason at all, he's running away from the bad guys, starts jumping up a house, and the thing's changing colors.
Yeah.
Like, why? Anyway, so it's kind of weird. They like justify a game mechanic thing so that, I don't know, you can please the fans. I guess that's why you do that sort of thing. It's like in the, I'll bring up the Warcraft movie again. Keen Warcraft fans would notice at the near the very end of the film when a bad guy is killed, there's a sound of somebody leveling up. Basically, the mage guy who saved the day leveled up. And I was like, why? Like, it's cute, but you didn't need it. It did nothing for your story. No one knows what that sound is except for someone that played the game for 10 years. So Qubert, the 1983 series in Saturday Superkid. It's set in a 1950s-inspired world in the town of Qbird. Basically, you have the teenage fur-covered creature named Qbert along with his friends, and they must deal with the resident bullies who are Coil, Ugg, and Wrongway. Coily. Coily is a snake. I do vaguely remember snakes bouncing to, like, try to stop you in Qbert, right?
And they're all... Well, all the Qbert people are called Qs, right?
Yeah, they all have Q in the beginning of their name. So there's Qbert. Qt is, like, his girlfriend. Qbit, Qball, Qval. Like, I didn't see all of them in this. There's somebody called Qmungus, which I thought was pretty great.
Yeah, and they go to, like, Q High or something.
Yeah, and all the buildings and sets are very much like, man, I think they could have gone way more cube with it looking, but they kind of looked like a more geometric version of, like, a Flintstones to me. Yeah. It's like what I got. So, as with the video game, there are lots of segments that feature block hopping scenes. Swearing bubbles. I know in the recent Wreck-It Ralph movie, Qbert was in it, and you can't understand what he says because he always just has, like, you know, the swearing, like, characters, like exclamation points and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But new to the cartoon, dude, and in one of the episodes we watched, I think it was in this, was Qbert's use of something called Slippy Doos, which is, like, he eats these, like, ball projectiles, spits them out, and it's, like, oil, yeah. And the oil makes them, like, slick and fall.
Yeah, I will say, like, watching this cartoon from 1983, it looks nice. Like, it really does. Like, we're talking about these buildings, maybe they could have been a little more cube-esque, but, like, the shapes are pretty interesting, especially, like, and the colors kind of match a lot of animations you're seeing right now. Mm-hmm. It's very bright and clean.
Sure. It's just, it's hard to, for me, it was hard to get over the quality, because, you know, I'm not watching it on, like, DVD.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying. It could totally live in a world. I was thinking, like, the character of Qbert is like a modern day Linus. He's, like, so optimistic about everything. He's like, whatever, gang, let's just figure it out. Mm-hmm. And, like, in the episode I watched, titled The Great Cutie Contest, he wasn't even the focal point of the episode. And he's still like, oh, man, let's do this. It's great.
Yeah, that happened to be the one I watched too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was just always cheering on Cutie.
Yeah.
His girlfriend win this contest.
So we should talk about this episode of Qbert. The other episode I didn't get to, but I found, was a Thanksgiving episode. And I wanted to be like, Qbert, man, you're picking the wrong holidays to capitalize on if you want to get into public consciousness here.
Yeah, you got to have a Christmas special, Qbert.
Where's your Halloween special? Where's your Christmas special? That's actually, those are the two, I think. So this episode we both watched called The Great QT Contest. We'll kind of talk through this. Basically, the very beginning of the episode, we find out that there is a contest going on for, like, Miss Teen Qbert or something, and you sign up, and it's essentially a local beauty pageant, right?
But I think it's the high school, like, teen version. Right.
Yeah, and I there's a great scene, dude, where Qbert is like, well, obviously, I'm not going to do it, but, like, Cutie would be perfect for this. So he brings it to Cutie. Starts telling her all about it. All you got to do is sign this form. And I think someone else snatches the form from him, and he just has another one. He's like the Bag and Sag and Barry of cartoon characters. Like, he's just got another form. I grabbed six. It's fine. These can be stolen. Yeah.
I was worried that we might spill a milkshake on it, so I had to get another one.
And essentially, dude, the majority of the episode is like the build-up to getting, like, Cutie ready for the pageant thing, the contest, and then also the contest itself, right? So what are some of the things they do on the way to getting ready for this contest? I know one of them was like doing her hair, getting she needed to get her hair done.
So they try to do her hair. These little weird green guys show up and they're like, what, you guys do hair? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then there's mishap there.
Bureau, you guys are expert hairdressers?
Yeah, thanks for agreeing with us.
I don't think I'd trust you guys working on my hair.
It's either us or nobody.
Oh, all right.
I call this my hurricane whirl.
All it needs now is a little blow drying. Thanks. You know what they say about hairstyle? Hair today, gone tomorrow. Oh, this is a powerful dryer. It's as strong as a vacuum cleaner.
Well, no wonder. It is a vacuum cleaner.
They were going to do makeup at one point, and one guy's like, yeah, I know how to do makeup. My uncle, who went to clown college, showed me. And so you know what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, she looks exactly like she looked like in the beginning of the episode.
Which goes to show you, kids, it's beauty, like natural beauty, that counts. It's what you are on the inside. We should mention that Coily, Ugg, and Wrongway, along with... I don't know if it's mentioned here that there's also a female snake, like Greaser. But essentially, they are the epitome of, like, 60s, 50s, like, Greaser bad guy kind of person.
Mm-hmm. But the girl snake wants to be the Miss Teen winner. So it's really just trying to, like,
sabotage,
ruin everyone else's so she can win.
Yeah, and so all through the episode, they are literally, like... Man, do they not check windows in the show? Like, there's just so many times when they're just, like, peering in. The snake is, like, peering in, and he's like, I'll stop him. And, for instance, in the hair scene, she's getting her hair done. It's looking fine. Okay, now we just got to dry it. And instead, he hands him, like, a vacuum instead of the hair dryer and vacuums her hair and messes it up or whatever. Like, who's not checking, like, what random low-pitched voice dude just handed me a vacuum, you know?
It's the 50s, man. Everyone's windows open. Doors are unlocked. Pies are in windowsills. Things. Everyone's trustworthy.
The pie scene. I think that was the makeup scene where she's like, oh, I'll just fix this makeup. This clown makeup looks awful. And one of the bad guys had thrown a pie through one window. As she ducks, the pie goes all the way across this house through another window and hits the snake in the face. And it's like, nah, why I oughta? Like,
now, how do I look?
You're a knockout.
This'll knock out her good looks.
Oh, there goes one of my lashes.
I better make sure Ugg's not messing up my plans.
I'd say Ugg messed up.
Uh-oh. Here, you take it.
Oh, no. You take it.
You take it.
There is a weird, interesting feeling to this show that is very familiar, that makes it like, I don't know why, like I had a really good time with this show, but also Qbert means nothing to me. The fact that he's a video game guy, right, like means nothing.
It's basically like you could equate it to like the Smurfs world. Like, I'm forgetting off the top of my head, like, the time Smurfs ran. It might have been after this, but because everything is named Q-Ball, it's like, oh, yeah, this is just the Smurfs, but with a Qbert twist.
Right. So, I mean, overall, man, like, obviously they end up having the contest. And there are multiple portions of this contest, right? There's like the, eventually talent. There's a bikini contest. There's a talent show.
The cook-off. Where I love that in the cook-off scene, she's baking like a cake. And like, you know what? We're just going to throw this bubble gum in here. And they just throw the bubble gum box into an oven. But the oven just says cake box.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even an oven. It's just a cardboard box that bakes cakes.
Yeah. I gotta say, too, the Greaser bad guys have the largest supply of oil and glue available for their pranks.
Did you see there? At one point, they had a prank where they had an inflatable bikini or yes. swimsuit that they put on a cutie, and it has a remote that blows it up. That remote is made by Acme.
I saw that it said Acme. It wasn't even designed, dude. Like, all the stuff was, like, scribbled. But I was like, so Acme is clearly not a, at least at this point, was not a patented thing. It was just a general, across-the-board cartoon company that makes gadgets that you would believe.
Yeah, they made everything for cartoon gadgets. They had a monopoly on this bad guy industry.
Yeah. I know we're already at the near the end of the episode here. However, I wanted to bring up one scene, and I'll throw this in here for you guys, that made me laugh my ass off. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, in the very beginning, Cutie is, like, trying to jump rope, but she can't quite do it. So Cubert's like, you know what? I'll show you how to jump rope. And as he starts, Coily decides, I'm going to pour this oil and make it all slick. Cubert slides 6 miles down the street, like out of the house, down a huge hill. They're in San Francisco now, apparently, you know, clocking into a like a street sign or something. But just the amount of time, like all of your dude, do you want your favorite cartoon sound effects of all time? Your slippery feet, your quick runs, your like screams. It's all in this show. It's all there.
Hand me the oil.
It's time to make things slippery for Cubert and Cutie.
Yeah, it's time to make things real slippery.
I just can't do it.
Hey, don't worry. Old Cubert will show you how it's done.
It's a simple matter of close hand and feet coordination. Look. Hey, watch it.
But yeah, the sort of like inflatable swimsuit is the very end of the episode here, the end of the talent show, where this is his last ditch effort, Coily here, to get Cutie to lose, and she starts floating off, so Cubert has to go rescue her, and this is where you get the block hopping scene and the slippy doos. Mm-hmm. You know, they're jumping up these houses trying to get to her to save her. At the same time, Cubert's like shooting slippy doos back to like try to get them to slip and fall, basically. And just like you mentioned, Brad, once they save the day, because he gets up to her and they float back down, nothing has changed. She just has a different bathing suit ready to go, gets in line, and is announced the winner.
Yeah, like, come on. This chick shows up here at the end in front of, like, I don't know, it's at least a dozen other Q people.
Yeah.
She got a 0 on her baked goods. I think her talent went okay. She left for the swimsuit part, and she won? Like, what?
They are really, like, trivializing the rest of the contestants in this show. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, how bad were they?
Right. How bad were their cakes and everything? The show also, you guys should check it out, has a great intro soundtrack. Again, doesn't matter that it's Cubert. But it's like so happy summer fun time that it's an earworm. Like, I don't remember any of the words, but I just remember thinking, like, I feel like I've heard this and I've definitely never seen this show before.
Yeah.
So Cubert, it's weird, man. It's really fun. I kind of really dug it. And also it doesn't make any sense that it was just like, yeah, put him in the '50s. I don't know.
Like, yeah. I agree. I kind of really liked the show. For how stupid it is, and like, it is beyond predictable. Like, you know, you knew she was gonna win from the start of the episode, but it's still fun.
Yeah. So as far as Saturday Supercade goes, I should have just planned a month and been like, every day this month or every week this month we're gonna do Saturday Supercade. Well, technically this is this will be out beginning of July, so maybe that's what we're doing.
Yeah, there you go.
So next week, Frogger, maybe, who knows? So there are a few episodes online. I also believe there are some box sets. I couldn't find any of these Saturday Supercade episodes, streaming on like Amazon or anything like that. But, people post these things all over the place. If they're old enough, you can go find them. If you want to relive some moments, if you are younger and you don't remember what Cubert is, do yourself some education and go check it out. I'm just kidding. We don't care about Cubert either. There are plenty of other great games you should know about. But kind of interesting they lumped everything together. I'm actually shocked that these days there aren't more cartoon stuff based on games. A lot of
cartoon stuff. What would you have? What are you going to have, a Fortnite cartoon get produced now? By the time a cartoon gets produced, the culture is like already over that game.
I bet there's a Fortnite cartoon in the works, now that you mention it. Wasn't there I think there was a Minecraft show. But yeah, there's not anything, because now there's so much media, right? There's so many, let's say just games in particular. There's so many games. It's very hard for you to pick something and make a brand new thing about it, unless you do, like, you could do a reboot of a Mario show now and it'd probably be fine. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, a company like Nintendo, super protective of what they do with their IPs these days, especially their most loved characters of all time. So,
right.
I don't know what you would do. But yeah, probably Fortnite's it.
Well, there's that new Sonic cartoon that we watched, Sonic Mania.
It's technically based on, I was going to do that show. I think we're going to do that show eventually, but they're releasing them in like 3-minute chunks, so there's not much to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, too, it's kind of interesting the way that people encounter things and where they think it originated from. So for me, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was a video game first. And then I was like, oh, cool, there's a show. But I think it was a comic first, really, right?
Comic first, yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that, like, I think of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as a video game thing. But there are probably people that think of it as a cartoon thing.
That's true.
So kind of interesting how all this stuff rolls over into cartoons, and then we talk about it here on the show. So anyway, let's get out of here. Go check out Cuber. I think we both had a good time with it. If you're looking for, like, look, the shows are super predictable, just like Brad mentioned, but there's a weird familiar feeling to the show that's kind of neat, very reminiscent of this, like, old Saturday morning era. So definitely worth checking out. Brad, where can people find out more about you when you're not recording Toon Talk Weekly?
So you can follow me on Twitter. It's @brad. And then my blog is digitalhitchhiker.com.
Guys, go check them out over there. You can follow me on Twitter @JacobWilliams. And of course, we're all over the place as Toon Talk Weekly on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Google+. We're @ToonTalkWeekly. You can find us over there. ToonTalkWeekly@gmail.com, the place to email us. Let us know what you think of the show, this episode, or any other episode on our website. And finally, that website is ToonTalkWeekly.com. All the episodes up to this point are over there. So go back up. Pretty much no discussion is like out of date because we're watching things that are out of date.
Yeah.
So all still relevant, all still pretty fun. You can check those out at ToonTalkWeekly.com. So that's going to do it for this week's episode, episode 260. We're on the back part of 250 now, right? We're barreling towards, like, 300 feels close, but 300 is also next year.
Yeah, it's, so it's quite a few weeks away.
Right, so that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll be back next week with another cartoon.
Take care.
To learn more about the show, visit ToonTalkWeekly.com or follow us on Twitter @ToonTalkWeekly.